I recall from your valedictory speech, so you noted that mistaken identity was a common theme in your political career.
Yeah, it was a bit for a while. I often, and still sometimes, am asked if how things are going in the South, and I know then that I've been confused with Catherine Rich and occasionally Amy Adams. But once I was even mistaken as a Green Party MP, which was mildly distressing.
What were you wearing?
Can't remember.
Okay, welcome. Today is not Mistaken Identity Day. Today is our podcast on the National Party. And I'm Simon Ewing-Jarvie.
And I'm Heather Roy.
So, the National Party, how are we going to structure this? Same as with the other parties?
Yes. So, with the other parties, we've done, firstly, just a very brief history. We've looked at where that party sits on the political spectrum, so we'll talk about where National is. Key people within the party. What can you expect from the National Party in the election campaign? And then, of course, if National does win the election, probably with support of others, what will they look like as in terms of forming a government after the 19th of September?
And if you don't want to listen to us and just want to go and research the National Party, you can go to national.org.nz, where you'll see their campaign banner, strong team, more jobs, better economy.
Yeah, it's quite a strong slogan, really, isn't it?
It's pretty good, yep.
Yeah, and we forgot to talk about the Labour Party one, but that is Let's Keep Moving after the Let's Do This. So it doesn't really tell you much about what they're promoting.
Yeah, okay, well, that was... We're not going to go back and edit that one.
No.
Sorry. So where did the National Party come from?
Well, the National Party is a bit younger than the Labour Party. It was formed in 1936 through the amalgamation of Conservative and Liberal parties. So the two big ones there, the Conservative Party was called the Reform Party and the Liberal was called the United Party. So New Zealand got its second oldest political party then, 1936. First National Prime Minister was Sydney Holland, and he was elected at the 1949 election. And so for most of that time, the National Party was considered to be a moderate, economically liberal party, but that couldn't be said of the 1975 to 1984 party under Rob Muldoon.
Yeah.
And then when we moved to the change from First Past the Post to MMP in 1996, the National Party became our first government under our new political system.
On the podcast we did about the political spectrum, if you've heard that one, you would have noted that we noted that the National Party is fundamentally a conservative party, wasn't always, but now, mostly a conservative party, and it's also on the free market end of the economic scale, so yeah, around the centre. But
that's right, it's still a centrist party, really, because it's got to be a broad church.
Yeah, indeed, and they reflect that in the fact they've got a whole lot of sub-tribes like the Blue Libs and the Blue Greens and all that sort of thing, as do Labour and yeah, the Green Party and so on. So, Heather, who's some of the key people in the... There's been a few key
there's
people.
There's been a few changes recently, but the current ones are Judith Collins, of course, who is really front-footing an awful lot of stuff at the moment, and her deputy, Gerry Brownlee. Paul Goldsmith is number three on their list, and he is clearly leading the charge on economic policy for them. Mm-hmm. He's been quite vocal in a number of areas. And the people who have... under Judith Collins' leadership have moved up into the top 10, Shane Retty, who has taken the health portfolio, and Chris Bishop, one of the younger MPs, has also been promoted into the top 10. If you look at the party list, the first new person, someone coming in from outside Parliament, is number 29, and that is Dale Stevens, who's standing in the Christchurch Central electorate.
What are they offering National Party in this election?
If you have a look at the National Party website, national.org.nz, you will see under the policy section they've got five key areas that policies are being built under. I have to say that policy for National is being rolled out more slowly than for the smaller parties, but I would comment that it's a bit harder for the big opposition party because they do tend to worry about policy appropriation by the government. And a really good example of that recently was the National Party came out very strongly saying that they believed people should have to pay for their quarantine accommodation. And before you know it, the Labour Party had put that into place.
So a bit of
policy theft there.
Yep, and that is a dilemma.
Yep.
And the other dilemma for all the parties, of course, as we've talked about earlier in earlier podcasts, is the early voting.
That's right.
So if we were on the calendar track to 19 September, you've got to have enough out by 5 September, enough policy out for when early voting
when
starts.
When people start voting.
But you've still got to have some cool stuff to roll out in the next couple of weeks.
That's right. On the website, they've got these five key policy areas. The first one is responsible economic management. And so there's a few initiatives that have been touted already there. But one that sort of intrigued me was the business start policy. And that's around the ability of people to use their KiwiSaver to start a business up to $20,000.
Now, that's not everyone, though. So I think you've got to be unemployed or made redundant, don't you, to get into that scheme. But I think it's a good idea. Look, it's their money.
Yep.
And why not use some? If you can use money to get into your first house, why not into your first business?
Yep, that's right. So good to see some of those initiatives coming through. And the website actually says keep a watch out for further policies being announced in this area.
Yeah, what else have they got?
Delivering infrastructure. So this is probably their big thing at the moment. Mm. Have you noticed they seem to be rolling down through the country?
Yeah, and it's been criticised in some quarters. And I can understand why they're doing it, because new leader, whole lot of turmoil behind her, wants to engage the public with something positive. Every single area in the country has got a road or a bridge that they want done, so she's done a swing around the country, something for everyone, big on infrastructure, and then we can expect more policy to roll out after. That's my pick.
That's right. I think it's actually relatively clever policy rollout.
How is it different to the provincial growth fund?
It's not at all. In fact, I think it's probably something that appeals to the masses much more than the provincial growth fund.
So people in glass houses or glass growth funds.
Yep. Mm. The third area is reskilling and retraining our workforce.
Teacher registration fees have been an issue. They got doubled, was it, recently? They backtracked on that. And I think they're basically saying, look, if you want to keep people in the profession, why would you charge them an amount of money just to keep their registration current?
Yeah, that's right.
International education is a big part of this too, isn't it?
It is, yes. And I think that they're making good sense on this. I think that the tertiary institutions are really suffering as a result of international students not being allowed across the border. There's no reason at all why they shouldn't come back if they're prepared to pay for their quarantine time and pay for the education that they're getting. So,
The events of the last few days have shown that anyone can spread the disease.
Well, the 14-day quarantine is probably a much safer way to be than community spread. Mm. Yeah. The fourth area is a greener, smarter future. Not too much announced in this space yet, but they're clearly appealing to that blue-green section in the National Party.
I think there's something about conservation, wasn't there?
There is a conservation policy there, but not much more.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final area is building stronger communities. And again, I think there's a bit of work to be done there. There is a health policy that really just talks about COVID.
And some cancer stuff.
And I think that this is one area where I do feel the National Party is a bit weak. I don't think they have a plan for our health system, which is really burgeoning in all sorts of areas. Certainly some gaps in different therapeutic areas, but I think that we've almost reached a point where the health system needs proper reform rather than tinkering around the edges.
The stuff that's come out of the Heather Simpson report, is that the sort of stuff that's going to do it?
I think that report highlights a whole lot of issues, but it doesn't provide many solutions.
Yeah, and we're going to do a whole episode on health anyway.
Yep.
So.
That's right.
Okay, if National manages to get themselves into government after the election, what can we expect?
Well, I think in terms of what the government might look like, the National Party clearly isn't going to get there on its own. The ACT Party is doing quite well. They often do when the National Party is looking a bit weaker. And I know that they would dearly love to have just that as the government, National and ACT Coalition.
Mm.
Certainly Judith Collins has already encouraged Epsom voters to vote for David Seymour, the ACT Party leader, and she's done a Winston to Winston. She's held up the sign saying no to him.
Yeah.
So they don't want a coalition with New Zealand First.
Interesting. I mean, in 2008, when you were in government, the Māori Party was also part of that government.
Mm.
On the same basis that ACT was, with National competence and supply,
mm-hmm.
and ministers outside cabinet.
Right.
And that actually worked really well. And it was quite smart from the point of view of National's manoeuvre, because if they were being held to ransom by one party, they could get the five votes they needed to pass things from the other. So there was
And it was particularly well managed by John Key.
Hmm. And I guess I was a bit disappointed to see John Tomahiri come out and say that he didn't want to work with National, he could work with Labour, given how much they got during that period of time, wins for Māori. Anything could change, they could sit on the crossbench, I guess. But I am confident, I don't know why I'm confident, I've just got a sort of feeling in my craw that Māori Party are going to win some seats, one or two.
Yeah, I think they're certainly looking strong in two of the Māori seats at the moment. Yes, John Tamahere has said that he wouldn't work with the national government. Whether that might change after an election, if there are enough overtures and reasons there. And I'm not sure why you would come out and say that as the Māori Party, because it's my belief that the Labour Party has, and still does, really take the Māori vote for granted.
Yeah, well, we're going to do a whole episode on the Māori Party, so we can explore that in a bit more detail. So let's see, National and ACT, for instance, if they get a government together, what do you think will happen?
Oh, I think that they have both already said that they want to tackle debt much more quickly than Labour has said they will. They'll want to get that tidied away as best they can. It's going to be a hard ask because we've never borrowed this much money as a country before, and there's quite a legacy potentially there for our children and our grandchildren. So I think that they will come out under a very strong economic management banner.
Yeah, okay.
And they will spend money on things like infrastructure.
Are the two parties, if you look at National and ACT in one view, are they looking like a government in waiting?
Yes, I think they are. They're probably, if you had to look at both sides, you'd think Labour and the Greens can clearly work together, but I think National and ACT are looking at the moment much more like a government in waiting.
You wouldn't have said that a few weeks or months ago, would you?
No.
National was a shambles and ACT was one MP.
And I think whether you love her or hate her, Judith Collins has actually brought some unity there.
Right, well, I think that's probably enough for us today. If you'd like to send in questions for future podcasts, go to the contacts page on our website, talkpoint.co.nz. That's TORQUE. We're also on social media, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. And that's it. Look forward to hearing from you. I'm Simon Ewing-Jarvie.
And I'm Heather Roy. We'll talk to you soon.